You know, Manton, it's no surprise to you or to anybody listening, I'm sure, that I am a Mac fan. I'm an Apple fan. I love Macs. I love iPhones. I love Apple Watch. I love AirPods. I love iPads. I'm like many of you listening, basically would always prefer to choose an Apple product over, say, an Android product or a PC. So, and my kids, bless them, bless their little hearts, they have been indoctrinated by me, mostly. My wife is a Mac user too, but she's not as, you know, fanatical about it as I am.
Yeah.
To the point where, you know, I have to kind of talk them down a little bit sometimes. But my older son, Henry, he's not only a Mac Apple aficionado, but I have managed also somehow just in my, I swear, not very like militaristic comments about Google, for example. I've like explained to him, like really trying to be very measured, like why Google is free, you know, mm-hmm. like, well, they, you know, they gain, you know, money from advertising. And to do that, they need to know more about you. Now he's just like, you know, Google spies on you.
Right.
He's like, he's distilled yeah. like the very careful language I've used into like, yeah, Google probably just spy on you. And I'm like, okay. But anyway.
It's funny how far this has gone from the don't be evil.
Yeah, I know, right?
It doesn't feel like that many years ago, but it's like just the opposite feeling now people have.
I know. And it's gotten to the point where, like, for example, you know, they're on YouTube a lot and mm-hmm. and there's ads that are like, get a Chromebook, you know, and they'll be like telling me like that when they see those ads, they're like screaming like, no. And I'm like, guys, you might have to get a Chromebook for school. You know, like school is going to give you a Chromebook, I think.
Hmm. But they're not going to like it.
No, they're not going to like it. But I'm trying to just like depoliticize them a little bit. But they're just like kind of gone crazy with it. So it's a little bit surprising to me that my son, Henry, the 12-year-old, divulged to me recently that he wants to do more chores and he wants to make money. Mm-hmm. And the reason is because he wants to buy a Windows PC.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I know this is not surprising to anybody who has a 12-year-old child, probably particularly boys, but I'm sure many girls too. The reason is obvious. It's for games.
Yep. So my son has also built a PC, despite there being Macs everywhere. Everybody has iPhones in the house. I guess it was a couple of years ago he built one, and he's upgraded it a couple times, and it has a pretty nice setup now, actually, which is kind of nice for being in school online. Now, but it's the same thing. Yeah. It's like games. And it's interesting. I mean, we didn't talk about the Epic stuff with Apple, but you know, like Fortnite, hugely popular game, millions of people they can't update it on the Mac anymore. And I'm not going to say that one thing is like the last part, like there's other games that are not available for the Mac, and that one decision and that whole court battle with Epic and Apple is not going to decide, you know, all this stuff with platforms. But I kind of wonder if this has just been building, and it's just PCs were always good choices for gaming, but like I feel like maybe any progress Apple has made has started to unravel. And so not surprised at all that your son wants a PC. Yeah. And I think you're right. I think that's pretty common. It's fine, but it's also kind of a bummer that like Macs are not the first choice for running games.
Right. I feel a little conflicted because, to be honest, I have utterly spoiled my children with hardware. Mm-hmm. You know, they have access to a really nice MacBook. They have access to fairly new iPads, have Apple TV, you know, and I kind of feel a little conflicted because it's like, if I happen to be a Windows aficionado, then all of the computers in our house would be Windows machines to start with. And so, like, chances are my kid would have access to a more suitable gaming PC than he does by having a dad who's like totally all Mac. So I'm a little conflicted because he wants to save up and spend his own money, which I think is great. And I think it's like, but then on the other hand, I'm also kind of sad for him because he's like, he doesn't have a lot of money, you know? And so it's going to be like this kind of sad PC. Whereas like if I was just the Windows daddy, he'd probably have like a, you know, $2,000 PC to play with. And he's like looking at the bottom of the barrel, like $500 is his price
but target. The nice thing about PCs, though, is that you can actually start, well, first of all, they're generally cheaper than Macs. Like, that's always been the case. It still is the case. But you can also start pretty simple, which is, I mean, I had to kind of relearn all of this when my son was building his own. You can start pretty simple and then actually upgrade. You know, these, you know, you get like a small tower or something with like a terrible graphics card, slow CPU. I mean, just like bottom of the barrel, like you said. And then, you know, next birthday, you get some money or whatever, or you do some chores and you save up and you swap the graphics card out and suddenly you've got something screaming fast. So it's actually kind of compelling. And again, like, kind of a bummer that like the only Mac that Apple makes that you can do that with starts at $5,000.
Yeah, right. I know it is. It's a bummer. This shines a light on the bummer aspect of that because, and it's funny because I actually, we did, it was new experience for me. I mean, frankly, not even when I was a kid, I never got into PCs, so I never built a PC from scratch. We did this.
Yeah, like, I didn't,
you
know,
there's all these great websites out there that, there's all these great websites that help you sort of piece together stuff, and they help even, like, you know, the computer companies. Like, we have a store here called Micro Center. I'm not sure exactly how big of a chain that is, but they, you know, on their website, they will help you like put together pieces and verify the compatibility of them. And we put together these pieces. It was so sad to me. I mean, it's both charming and sad, but my poor kid is like, $15 for a keyboard? No, that's too expensive. Like, you know, and it's like, and I'm like, what? In what world do you get anything less than $15 for a keyboard? And then we scroll down, and it's like keyboard and mouse, $7. You know, combined. And I'm like, wow. I don't know how good it is, but it's true. You really can scrape the bottom of the barrel. And yeah, you know, you're right. Like, I think the situation on Windows is basically like, if you have a case from like 20 years ago, you could probably still use it. And, you know, it might be bigger than you wished it was. But it's like, these things work. So it's like, in that sense, like, I do think like if he saves up $500, let's say, and he buys like a case, this is the other thing. He was like, you know, looking at hard drives, and it's like, I was trying to talk him into SSDs, and he's like, no, that's way too expensive. But you know, all these things, if he buys them, you're right. Like, he can swap out the whatever terabyte spinning disk drive. He can swap out, you know, whatever he gets, but the case will be fine. And that is kind of cool. I think, like I said, I'm conflicted because I kind of feel like this would be something that, as a privileged son of a technophile, he should just have access to. But it also just seems like such a good opportunity for him to really want to save up for something.
Yeah. And it's like, going through that process can be fun and educational. And even the silly things like the keyboards, the cheap keyboards, you can trade the up too. Like, my son has like a...
Yeah,
like a real clicky keyboard now. It's just kind of funny because, like, I thought I was the one that was like kind of picky and specific about like my computers, but not really. You know, he's got like a way more interesting setup with keyboard that lights up and clicky keys and, you know, all this sort of stuff. I'm surprised he hasn't wanted to build his own like keyboard yet, but not quite.
Well, that's the funny thing. After putting all this stuff together, it was like, $500. I thought, like, well, what happens if you just go out and you say you want to buy a really cheap Windows machine already put together for you? And I actually found like a $400 laptop that seemed to be more or less the same specs.
Mm-hmm.
And I suggested that to my son. And he's like, well, he kind of wants to have the fun of putting it together. And the mm-hmm. key, he really wants to have that swappability later. So,
yeah, that sounds fun. And, you know, I feel like I'm never going to have like a PC. Like I just like macOS way too much, regardless of the hardware. If Macs were slower, I would still use them because I just like macOS better than Windows. You know, Windows has come a long way, but I just really like macOS. Now on the mobile side though, I have been tempted lately to go more onto the Android side of things, especially as I've been so frustrated with the way Apple runs the App Store. And I think it would be really valuable to have like more Android experience so that I can do Android stuff for my micro.blog folks. And so actually on my desk right now, I've got an iPhone, I got my MacBook Pro, and I have a little Android tablet that I bought recently, and it's slow and cheap and probably is not going to be able to be upgraded to the latest Android, you know, in another year. But I think I'm going to tinker more and more on that side of things, even though I feel locked in on the Mac because I want to be locked in on the Mac, and I feel locked in on iOS because I actually am kind of locked in with like iMessage and apps and everything. I feel like it'd be helpful to tinker more on the Android side, not PCs, but on the cross-platform mobile side.
I think you're not alone. I think that I know a lot of Mac users and longtime Mac aficionados who have Android phones, and it's, I don't feel like it's not for me, but I can totally feel the difference between, like, I'm with you. Like I'm way more likely to get into and dip my toes into Android than into Windows.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I think that's a fairly common sentiment.
Yeah.
And especially in your position, making software, you know, for the broader population, you have a lot of customers of micro.blog who are Android users. So
exactly.
That makes some sense.
Yeah. And like I noticed this when we released Sunlight 3.0, this week of like, you know, people asking where's the Android version, or not mean like that, but just like, oh, sorry, I'm an Android user, so I can't try your beta,
right?
I can't, you know, release your, I can't, you know, do the new version. And like the bottom line with Android too, for people who haven't looked at it recently, it's actually pretty good now. And I was thinking back to like when Steve Jobs introduced the iPhone, and he was like, this is 5 years ahead of everybody else. And he was right. Like, I remember getting that first iPhone. It was like from the future. It was amazing. You could like zoom into maps and like tap on it. Looks like never seen anything like it before. It was 5 years ahead. But guess what? It's been like 12, 13 years. How long has it been since the iPhone?
Yeah.
So like, not only has everybody kind of basically caught up, like that, the 5 years is so long ago that Android is pretty usable now. And like, I could nitpick things about it, just like I can nitpick things about iOS, but it's not, I could definitely see using that, whereas I just could not see using Windows every day.
Well, I guess this is the show where we talk about our deviations from the Apple fandom rule book. The funny thing about my kid's PC is he's so broke, and we don't pay him very much for chores, so he's going to be a long time before he can buy a PC, but he's got a good attitude about it, yeah, so we'll see.
And cool.
I'm going to have to think up chores galore, because, you know, he's just got to make a lot more money.
Yeah, he's got an incentive. Cool. Well, good talking to you, Daniel. Good luck on the PC making.
Yeah.
Thanks, everyone, for listening, for supporting the podcast. And really means a lot that you're supporting, and it's been fun to do these new episodes of Extra Intuition.
Yep. Talk to you again soon.
Bye.